Is that Tobias again climbing up on that wall to preach at us?
I'm afraid so. He has gathered a band of zealots around him, and that could mean trouble for our village.
Listen, friends! The time has come for our deliverer to appear. A mighty Messiah has even now shown himself in Galilee. He performs miracles. He heals the sick and the lepers.
Another Judas of Galilee? Or Omri? We need such deliverers like we need foxes in our fields.
Must we give up hope because those before us failed? I tell you, Jesus of Nazareth can lead us to victory over the Romans.
Jesus of Nazareth? But he's no revolutionary. He's not a dagger man like you, Tobias.
But he has power from God. I have seen it. So has Simon. Here, Simon the Zealot. Tell these patriots about Jesus. You know him well.
Jesus has a mighty power from God. What Tobias says is true, but Jesus never speaks about rebellion. He speaks of peace, not the sword.
If Jesus is our deliverer, then he will lead us against the Romans. He will set us free from the foreign tyrants. He will drive these idolaters into the sea. Zechariah, will you march with us?
Yes, for the glory of Israel, Jerusalem, and our God.
Samuel of Cana.
My arm and my dagger belong to you and the Lord of Israel.
And you, Simon, you've been one of us for a long time. We know of your hatred for Rome. We know of your love for Israel. You will fight with us, won't you?
I'm sorry, Tobias. We simply don't see eye to eye. I must go.
Simon, don't be a coward. This is not a time for cowards. This is a time for the brave, for the descendants of the Maccabees to take up arms. God will be with us, as he was with Moses and Joshua. We must fight for our land, our law, our God.
The soldiers, run for your lives!
Stand and fight! We must fight now for the glory of God and Israel!
Drop your swords, rebels! Tobias, you're under arrest. Drop your dagger.
The Road to Happiness. Simon the Zealot left his fellow daggerman just in time. It was not uncommon at that time for men like Tobias to be arrested by the Roman authorities and forced to become slaves or to be crucified. But others arose to take their places. The people looked for a deliverer, a leader who would help them drive the Romans out and make Jerusalem the capital city of the world. But Jesus spoke of peace among men, of love between enemies, and of happiness that could not be won with swords. His way of life attracted many to his side. One of these was Simon the Zealot. Another was Judas from Kirioth, a town in southern Judea. They are on their way to join Jesus and the other disciples.
Yeah, it seems to me, Simon, that you left the zealots just in time.
Yes, they are the impatient ones. But aren't we all, Judas, impatient to see the glory that once was Israel's?
It can't be soon enough to suit me.
And tell me, Judas, are you too going to follow the Master?
Well, I'm curious. I've heard he's a sharp teacher. A rabbi who speaks of a kingdom.
Yes, the kingdom of God. Sometimes very difficult to understand.
What was that?
I don't know. Just a deer. Stopped my heart for a minute there, too. I thought it was the soldiers.
But you have your dagger.
No longer. Watch your head there, Judas. If you disturb that nest of wasps, you will think all of Rome is after you.
Thanks.
Why do you want to follow Jesus of Nazareth? The reason I ask is, you seem to be an educated man, perhaps a scribe. But Jesus' followers, like me, are just a bunch of fishermen, farmers, even a tax collector.
Well, I believe it's time for our deliverer to come, and I've heard much about this Jesus. Perhaps he is the deliverer.
He often speaks of deliverance from sin.
Perhaps he soon will speak of deliverance from the Romans.
Do you believe he is from God?
Well, he has power beyond belief. He heals and casts out demons, I hear. Why, even the power of Rome couldn't stand against his words. Perhaps someday soon Jesus will declare himself our deliverer, and then all Israel will march under his banner. Won't that be a glorious day, Simon? And you might be one of his captains. And I, perhaps I... But you look troubled, Simon.
I guess I am, Judas. Everyone, even the scribes and Pharisees, would follow Jesus if he promised them deliverance from Rome. But Jesus speaks of something greater, a greater kingdom.
Greater than Israel? Impossible.
Time will tell, Judas. Time will tell.
With crowds daily pressing around him, night was about the only time Jesus could find to withdraw for private prayer. Often he went up into the mountains to pray and stayed there all night. At this time, one of Jesus' most important tasks lay just ahead of him. It was time to call together his disciples, ordain them as his apostles, and send them out to tell others the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus spent all night in prayer. Early in the morning, just as the first light broke in the east and outlined the trees, Jesus came down to the foot of the mountain. His disciples were just waking up.
Master, have you slept?
I've been praying.
All night? Why?
For you, Peter, and the others.
For me? Why?
It is time to appoint 12 who will go to the other villages and towns in my name. Simon Peter, come, follow me.
Master, I will follow you even to death.
Andrew, follow me.
Thank you, Lord. Like my brother Peter, I will follow you anywhere.
James and John, follow me.
Yes, Master.
We will follow.
Philip, Bartholomew.
We will follow you, Master.
Levi, Matthew.
The tax collector? One of the apostles? Well, there are others. Why him? Judas would be better.
Thomas?
You want me, Master? But I don't know if I...
Thomas?
Yes, Master. I will follow you.
James, son of Alphaeus.
Yes, Lord. I will follow you.
Simon, the zealot?
Simon, you're a lucky man.
Thank you, Master. I will gladly follow you.
Judas, son of James.
Yes, Master, I will follow you.
Who will be the 12th? That would be hard to choose.
Perhaps Matthias or Barnabas. How about Judas from Kyrios?
Yes, Judas would be a good choice. He's the most educated of all of us. Puts us to shame, really. He looks like a leader, too. It'd be a shame not to have him with us.
Simon, say a word to the Master for me.
Master, we were wondering... I mean, we feel Judas here would make a good apostle.
Master, I would be very honored to follow you. Wherever you go, I will surely and gladly go.
Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have no home of my own. No place to lay my head.
Oh, that doesn't make any difference to me, teacher. Let me follow you.
Pardon me, Master, but Judas is the only one here from Judea. It might be good to have someone from another place than Galilee.
He would be a good man, Master.
We need someone like him as our treasurer.
He has many talents. We'd like to have him with us.
Judas of Kyriath, follow me.
Oh, gladly, Master. I will follow you anywhere. My life is your life.
Gather around me, friends. I want to pray for you, for the kingdom of God is among you.
So these men became the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. For the next 2 years, they would be constantly with Jesus, learning from him, telling others about him, and being his companions and followers. But one of the greatest lessons they would ever learn from him came to them that first summer on a mountainside overlooking the Lake of Galilee. As Jesus and his disciples finished their early morning dedication service and come down the mountain to the lakeside, they see a large crowd already gathering, eagerly waiting to hear the Master speak. Jesus looks out over the people gathering around him. Right next to him are his 12 disciples. Then come the boys and girls and the fathers and mothers. To give the people more room and to provide opportunity for them to better hear him, Jesus turns and starts back up the mountainside. Eagerly, the crowd follows. All are expecting some great event to soon take place.
Perhaps Jesus will announce that he is our new king.
And then we can march to Jerusalem and drive the Romans out.
And we, God's people, will rule over the nations. I can't wait.
Look, even the leaders from Jerusalem are here. They're expecting something to happen, too.
After all, we are the chosen people of the Lord, and he has promised us a deliverer. I feel it in my bones. This is the day we will hear the greatest message we've ever heard.
Shh! Jesus is about to speak. Let's sit down here.
Right.
Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
What does he mean, poor in spirit?
Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Happy are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Happy are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Those are strange words. Is that really the way to happiness?
That part about being meek. What if someone insults you?
Or does something really bad against you?
The master is about to continue.
Happy are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
That's a strange teaching.
Yet Jesus speaks like he knows what he's talking about, not like the scribes and Pharisees.
What he says makes me feel afraid.
You have heard it said, if a man gouges out another's eye, he must pay with his own eye. If a tooth gets knocked out, knock out the tooth of the one who did it. But I say, don't resist violence. If you are slapped on one cheek, turn the other too. If you are ordered to court and your shirt is taken from you, give them your coat too.
Jesus taught the people the rules of the kingdom of God, the rules of happiness. He taught them about love and mercy, about forgiveness and purity of heart, about justice and right living. And all were amazed at his words.
There is a saying, love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way you will be acting as true sons of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust too.
How are we supposed to love our enemies?
Does he mean the Romans? These are strange sayings.
And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Master, teach us to pray.
Remember, your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Your heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive those who sin against you. But if you refuse to forgive them, he will not forgive you.
Master, if we follow you, how will we get our food and clothing?
Don't worry about things, food, drink, and clothes. For you already have life and a body, and they are far more important than what to eat and wear. Look at the birds. They don't worry about what to eat. They don't sow or reap or store up food, and your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than they are. Will all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothes? Look at the field lilies, how they grow. They don't worry. Yet King Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers, won't he more surely care for you, O men of little faith? So don't worry at all about having food and clothing.
That will take a lot of faith, Master. How can we have such faith?
Ask, and you will be given what you ask for. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receives. Anyone who seeks, finds. If only you will knock, the door will open.
Teacher, how would you sum up the law and the prophets?
Do for others what you want them to do for you. This is the teaching of the law and the prophets in a nutshell.
Jesus finished his sermon on the mountain. He stood up and, with his disciples following him, descended to the plain below. All the people were amazed at what Jesus had said, for he taught with great authority. He knew what was truth. He knew the road to happiness. Even as Jesus finishes his sermon and descends the mountain, there is in the town of Capernaum, by the upper shore of Lake Galilee, a Roman army captain who finds that he is helpless against an enemy that threatens to take the life of his favorite servant, a boy whom we will call Silvan.
Doctor, is he any better? Is there any improvement?
He is paralyzed. Can't move a muscle, I'm afraid. And he's in pain, great pain.
Oh, no. Poor Silvan. Why him? He's always been a very kind lad, obedient, never made any trouble. Is there any hope?
I guess there is always hope, but...
But what, Doctor?
I'm afraid even if Silvan recovers from this attack, he'll always be paralyzed. Perhaps it would be better if that... Well, it would be a miserable life.
Doctor, have you heard of Jesus of Nazareth?
Yes, I've heard stories, amazing stories.
I've gathered some reports on him. He may be a prophet of God, the Jewish God. Perhaps if he came here, he has healed others, lepers, the blind, the paralyzed.
It would do no harm.
Yes, I believe this Jesus can save poor Silvan. I must get word to him immediately. But how? I'm a Roman. I'm not worthy to approach this great man, this rabbi. Perhaps he wouldn't even listen to me.
I have a suggestion. You could send the Jewish leaders of this town.
Right. That's what I'll do. Jason, come here, quick. I did help them build their synagogue.
You practically built it yourself.
Yes, Master.
Jason, run to the synagogue and ask Rabbi Jeconias to come here quickly.
Yes, sir.
It will take a miracle, Captain.
For what, Doctor?
If Silvan is to ever be well again.
Do you think it's possible, Rabbi Jeconias, to see Jesus for me and ask him to come to my house?
Certainly, Captain. I'll ask the other elders to go with me, too.
Thank you, Rabbi. And please, hurry.
Rabbi Jeconias gathered the other elders, and they set out to find Jesus. At this time, Jesus, with his disciples and a crowd following them,
was just entering Capernaum.
There's Jesus now.
As usual, with the rabble following him.
I'll try to get his attention.
Master, Jesus of Nazareth, we must speak to you.
Yes?
Master, we have been sent on urgent business by the captain in our town. His servant lad, whom he loves very much, has become paralyzed and is in great pain.
And this captain has been very good to us. He's not like the other Romans.
Yes, he believes in our God.
Although he has not yet become one of us.
What we're saying, Master, is that if anyone deserves your help, he does. He loves the Jews and even paid personally for the building of our synagogue. Will you come and heal his servant?
Yes, I will come and heal him.
Please, stand back. Make way for the Master. He must get through.
They all want to see Jesus. How will we ever get through to the captain's house? Make way!
They won't listen.
The people crowded around Jesus, making it impossible to walk fast. Would Jesus get to Sylvan in time to heal him? The captain sat by the boy's bed, his concern growing. Would Jesus come into his home? Perhaps it was asking too much.
Jason, come here quick.
Yes, sir.
Jason, run and find the Jewish elders and Jesus. Tell Jesus not to come to my house. I am not worthy to have him come here.
Yes, sir.
What will I do? The God of the Jews is the true God, and Jesus is a special one sent by him. But I'm a Roman. I'm not worthy. Sylvan, I wish I could take your pain. I must do something. I know. I will go myself, even if I am a Roman. It's not for me, but for Sylvan. I'd do anything for him.
Jason approached Jesus with the captain's message.
Master, the captain has sent me with a message. He said not to trouble coming to his house after all. He feels unworthy to have you under his roof.
You mean the captain has changed his mind?
What shall we do? Perhaps it's just as well. After all, a teacher like Jesus entering the home of a Gentile like a Roman? Yes. Perish the thought.
Look, here comes the captain himself.
Yes. Master, Rabbi.
Yes?
Sir, I am not worthy to have you in my home, and it isn't necessary for you to come. If right here you will just say, be healed, my servant will get well. I know, because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant boy, do this or do that, and he does it. And I know you have authority to tell his sickness to go, and it will go.
The heart of Jesus was drawn to this man, born in heathenism, educated in the idolatry of imperial Rome, trained as a soldier, and seemingly cut off from any religious life, yet perceiving a truth to which so many were blinded, Jesus turned to the crowd.
This is amazing, isn't it? I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles like this Roman officer shall come from all over the world and sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and many an Israelite, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, shall be cast into outer darkness to the place of weeping and torment. Captain, come here. I have something to say to you. Go home. What you have believed has happened.
Thank you, Lord. I know it's true. Sylvan is well.
The Roman captain rushed home and into Sylvan's bedroom. The boy was healed.
Praise the Lord of Israel.
Oh, thank you, Lord. You are the only true God. I will worship you forever.
Jesus had healed the servant boy because he needed healing. It wasn't because of what the captain had done for the Jews, but because of his faith that Jesus could heal with a word. Holy Scripture tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. The same is true for you today. You can ask help from Jesus anytime. He is just as willing to listen to your request today as he was willing to listen to the Roman captain in Capernaum.